I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 28. Acts chapter 28. And I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. I imagine my dad and mom were watching today, and they were so dear to me. I remember one night my dad lay on his face all night long, praying me through for a breakthrough. Amen. I said to the doctor, I said, "Doctor, am I going to get better?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "You're a man of faith, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you better hope for that. Aren't you glad that when we have God, we don't have to cross our fingers?" Amen. Faith is as real gets. And we thank the Lord for it. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we were departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Thank you for being a good God. A good, good father. I pray, God, that you would bless my wife and children up the road. I pray for Crossroads Baptist Church, the greatest church family in the world surrounding their pastor, that you'd watch over them up in Northern Virginia. Now, I believe you've led me to preach this today, so would you help me? Use the word of God in our hearts, we pray, and bind the devil in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The pastor gave me a chair up here. I ain't going to wimp out sitting in that chair. Unless I have to. Thank you. Acts chapter 27, Paul is on a ship. And he's on a ship headed to Rome. And they encounter a storm. This is a storm that comes. And Paul said to them before they made this voyage that we probably shouldn't go. This is a dangerous voyage, and I don't believe we should make it. But they didn't listen to the man of God. How many of you know sometimes people don't want to listen to the man of God? And yet they endeavor to take this voyage, and sure enough, the storm comes. Euroclydon, it's called. A vicious storm. They feel like they're in jeopardy of losing their lives. They're going to go down, they think. They're about ready to abandon the ship into the escape boats. And the same preacher man that told them that the storm was coming stood again and said, "Don't abandon the ship, abandon the ship. There stood by me an angel of the Lord, whose I am. And God said that the storm is coming, but everybody's going to be safe." And then I like this statement. Paul said, "I believe God." How many of you today say you believe God? Amen. I believe God. I know there's a lot of news going on. There are a lot of opinions going on. But I want to tell you, I believe God. Paul said, "I believe God. We're going to make it. We're going to make it." And the Bible says that they did make it. All of them escaped. Some on board, some that swam. but they all escaped safe to land. Aren't you glad that Almighty God keeps his promises? In Acts 28, they're on the island of Melita. Today it is known as the island of Malta. They're there because of a storm. Hear me now. They are there because of a storm. And while Paul is trying to help people, putting sticks into the fire, out of the fire comes a beast, if you would. It's called a viper. Now, maybe you're in the building and viper doesn't scare you. It does me. I'm told that there are some religions that believe in handling snakes. I don't even mess with a dead snake. I'm scared of snakes. If viper doesn't scare you, if beast doesn't scare you, how about venom? That word means poison. You say, what is poison? Poison will kill you dead. You hear me now? It'll kill you dead. And this is what happens to Paul. Out of the fire comes a viper. Not just a viper, a venomous beast. Not just a venomous beast, but a viper, a venomous beast that fastens on his hand. The venom has now entered his bloodstream, and he should die. At the very least, he should swell up. What is Paul's reaction? To the average person, a venomous beast has gripped on me. Venom has penetrated my system. Surely it should kill me. My ministry is over. God must be done with me. This thing has put an end to me on an island I didn't intend to be on a ship I didn't deserve to be on a storm I told them we would encounter with a bunch of people that I don't even know, on an island full of barbarous people. That would be the reaction of most people. But my Bible tells me that Paul didn't react with dismay. Paul didn't react with distress. Paul wasn't downtrodden. Paul wasn't in despair. Paul wasn't destitute. Paul wasn't depressed. Paul didn't give up. Paul didn't give in. Paul didn't give out. Paul wasn't going to quit. My Bible says, verse number 5, Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now, I've come to tell you, and I don't have long in me to tell you, that every single one of us is either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed for a storm. I don't know why God did it this morning, but God led me to Acts 28 for Faith Baptist Tabernacle on this very morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're facing, but God said to me, the people of God at Faith Baptist are encountering some storms. Somebody in the building has ended up somewhere because of a storm. You face something you didn't plan on. You're dealing with something you didn't expect. You're encountering something that wasn't on your itinerary. You've ended up in a day that wasn't scheduled on your calendar. You're going through something. The viper's come out the fire. It's fastened on your hand. The venom has entered your system, and the world says it should kill you, and the devil says it's all over, and your flesh says throw in the towel, and everybody else says you're not going to make it, and you're about ready to believe what they're saying. But I've come to you on the authority of the word of God and on a mere experience that God has taken me through on these last several months to tell you it ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't going to end till God says it's going to end. I'm not saying your trial's nothing. I'm not saying your burden's light. I'm not saying your sickness is easy. I'm not saying your difficulty is a cinch. But what I am telling you is that God is greater than your trial, and God is bigger than that viper, and God is stronger than that beast. And somebody in the building today has to determine not to be in despair, not to be destitute, not to be distressed, not to be depressed, not to let the devil win, but to tell that viper to go back where it came from, and in the name of Jesus, shake it off. I've come this morning to preach a message to you entitled, Shake It Off. Shake It Off. I want to give you 3 thoughts this morning of what the storm did to Paul and what the storm is doing to all of us. You can let the storm have you, or you can shake it off and let God have the storm. Number one, shake it off when you're stranded and alone. Stranded and alone. Where's Paul? Paul's on the island of Melita. Now, Paul had gone to a lot of places, but he had gone there on purpose.
When he landed on the island of Melita, he didn't land there on purpose. He landed there shipwrecked. He landed there amid active faithfulness. He's putting sticks in the fire. He ain't gambling. He ain't cussing. He ain't partying. He ain't drinking. He's doing something good. Can I tell you, just because you're doing good things doesn't mean you won't have a storm. Just because you're serving God doesn't mean you won't be stranded and alone. Somebody disillusioned this morning because you're serving God. You're tithing every Sunday. You're coming to church. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're trying to raise your kids right. And yet sickness has come to your body and difficulty has come to your marriage and rebellion has come to one of your children. And you don't understand why, God, why all these people that are living for the devil, why aren't they going through storms? Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution amidst your active faithfulness. It will give you abrupt footing. You find yourself where you can't stand. You find yourself where you're not sure of yourself. You find yourself where you have nothing in your portfolio, no file to go back on, and you're in abandoned familiarity. It's nothing you're used to. Paul had been a lot of places, had met a lot of people, but he had never been to Melita. He had never encountered anything like this. He had never been bitten by a viper. Somebody feels alone. Somebody feels stranded. Somebody feels like the boat has broke down somewhere that you didn't intend to be, and you're wondering, should you give up? Should you give in? Should you give out? Should you quit? Should you fall in the depths of despair? No, my friend. Well, what did I do, Pastor? You shake it off. Secondly, shake it off when you're smitten and abused. Smitten and abused. You ever been hurt before? I said, have you ever been hurt before? I have. Anybody that tells you it's fun to be hurt has learned how to lie real good. This viper bites him. He's not on an excursion in Melita. He's there because he was on a boat as a prisoner who had done nothing wrong. He lands on an island, not because he wanted to, but because a storm put him there. Has the storm caused you to be hurt this morning? Hurt during his helpful performance. Hurt because of a hurtful predicament. Hurt because of horrible poison. The poison of desperate problems, the poison of depleting pressures, the poison of dangerous people. Somebody's been hurt today by gossip. Somebody's been hurt today by abuse. Somebody's been hurt today by someone letting you down. Somebody's been hurt by a hero that underachieved. Somebody's been hurt by somebody you looked up to, and you're sitting in the building this morning, disillusioned, wondering how in the world, in the middle of the work of God, could this smiting and this abuse come my way? Surely it shouldn't happen to me. I'm telling you, there was no godlier man on that island than the Apostle Paul, and he's the one that got bitten. Don't you wish that only bad people got bitten? Now, somebody in the building is looking around you today, and you're going, this shouldn't happen to me. This shouldn't happen to us. This shouldn't have showed up in our family. This shouldn't have come to our church. This just isn't fair. I don't know about you. I'm looking at this passage of scripture in Acts 28 and I'm going, no. I'm talking to the viper. Have you ever read your Bible and started talking to the characters? Did you ever read Jonah and go, no, Jonah, don't get on that boat. No, Jonah. Don't you get on, no, Jonah, turn the ticket back in, Jonah, go back the other way, go back to Judas, don't take that silver. Don't take that silver, Judas. Judas, you're going to end up hanging yourself, boy. Boy, this is a bad decision, Judas. It's a bad decision, Judas. Ahab, get your wife in check, Ahab. Get your wife in check, Ahab. Get your wife in check. Thief. Don't you talk to Jesus that way. You talking to the wrong man. Oh, other thief. Now you talking. You making some sense now. I mean, you read your Bible and you start talking. And right about now, I'm talking to the viper. Viper, don't bite him. Don't bite him. Oh, no. Bite him. Oh, bite her. Yeah. Have you ever felt some people in your life that you felt in your mind you could just tell vipers to bite them and you'd be doing God and everybody else a favor? And now in Acts chapter number 28, the viper is biting the wrong person. No. Not that man. He's a church planner. He's a visionary. Have you read Acts chapter 9, Mr. Viper? This man got saved. This man got his life right with God. And maybe right now you're looking at God going, God, I shouldn't be the one getting bitten. I shouldn't be the one getting smitten. I shouldn't be the one getting hurt. I shouldn't have been abused. I shouldn't have been done wrong. And by the way, can I remind you of something? When something smites you and somebody abuses you, that somebody is never God. When somebody does you wrong, it's never God that did you wrong. When somebody mistreats you, it's never God that mistreats you. Don't you ever let somebody's bad doing make you mad at God. I'm telling you, he's good all the time. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Somebody in the building today has been stranded and alone. Somebody in the building today has been smitten and abused. You're wondering, what should you do? Should you throw in the towel? Should you quit reading your Bible? Should you leave church? Should you find something else? I'm telling you, that's the greatest lie ever hatched in hell. Well, what do I do? Shake it off.
Number three, and I'm going to quit. Shake it off when you're stranded and alone. Shake it off when you're smitten and abused. Shake it off when you're slandered and attacked. Well, here comes the viper, the venomous beast, and it fastens on Paul. And guess what the audience says?
He's a murderer. He's a murderer.
The worst thing in the world is to be hurt and attacked at the same time.
And now they're demeaning his character. They're running him through the mud. They're calling him names. How many of you know the easiest thing for somebody to do when you're going through a storm is to comment?
Because that person's not going through it.
Look at him. Unfounded lies, untrue labels, unwavering loyalty. Notice they're lying on him. He's not a murderer. He's a church planner. He's not a murderer. He's a missionary. He's not a murderer. He's a visionary. He's not a murderer. He's a godly man. He's not a murderer. He's a great mentor. He's not a murderer. He's a great friend. Listen to me now. When you're going through something that a storm has caused in your life, there will be many around you that will gather around you, and they'll start calling your names, and they'll start making assumptions, and they'll start drawing conclusions, many of them that are unfounded, they're untrue, they're uncharacteristic of you. And my friend, you've got to tune that mess out.
Unprecedented leadership. By the way, they called him a murderer, and then when he didn't swell up and didn't die, they said, ooh, he's a god. How many know in the work of God, it's not hard to go from hero to zero in rapid time? They will love you today and hate you tomorrow. That's why you got to live for the audience of one. Come on now. You can't live for the praise of man. You can't live for the applause of people. Let me tell you something, choir. There's nothing wrong with wanting people to say amen. There's nothing wrong with loving the fact that they clap when you sing. And bless God, I like to be in churches when they respond to the music. But when you come out the choir loft, don't you come out of the choir loft looking for the applause of people. You come out the choir loft looking to hear the one who loved you and saved you and redeemed you, the one who put a song in your mouth. And by the way, you ought to be able to sing when you're not in the choir loft, when you're not in your section, when you don't have a choir with you, when you don't have a soundtrack, when you don't have a crowd of a full auditorium. You ought to be able to sing all by yourself, because he set you free and he found you in the muck and mire of sin and debauchery and depravity. And when there wasn't a rose red enough, and there wasn't a lamb white enough, and there wasn't a man good enough, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. I'm not singing because I'm on the schedule. I'm not singing because the piano started playing. I'm not singing because I got a book in my hand. I'm not singing because I got words on the screen. I'm singing because he saved me and put a song in my mouth.
Have you lost your song? Because people have started talking about you.
Wow. Unprecedented leadership. All of a sudden, instead of getting mad, Paul gets a chance to help somebody. The chief man of the island's father was sick. And guess who healed him? The same guy they slandered. See, you can't lose your testimony when you're being slandered and attacked. You know why? Because the same people that are slandering you are the people that are going to need you. And some of the people running you down are the people that are going to call you and ask you for prayer.
And some of the people that are talking about you behind your back are the people that are going to say, wow, we saw God on you like he's never been. I'm telling you, don't you tap out in the middle of that slander. Don't you tap out in the middle of that attack. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to face the critics. I know it's hard to face the crowd. I know it's hard to keep on going when you're hearing whispers all around you. But I'm here to tell you, you've got to keep on pressing on, not because of their whispers, but because of God's word. I'm telling you, you've got to shake it off. Unbelievable liberty to do something for God. I don't know who's on an island today. I don't know who's where you never thought you'd be. I don't know who's going through something that you've never gone through before. I know I have. I mean, I don't ever get sick. I don't remember having the flu. I don't take flu shots. The whole house gets sick. My wife gets strep throat. I sleep beside her. I give her a kiss and don't get nothing. And you never would have told me on March 18th I'd have walked in the hospital with 105 degree temperature. Staggering. Even then I thought I'll be out of here in a couple hours. And a few days later the doctor was telling me he didn't know if I'd make it. And I'm telling you, when you've gone around the country and bragged on Jesus about keeping you healthy and never had to cancel a meeting for sickness and always been able to help hold yourself together and your family together, and you're laying in the hospital in isolation and your wife can't come and the nurses have masks and visors over their eyes and gloves, and they're getting out the room as fast as they can, and three sets of doctors are coming in every morning and they're just as clueless as you are about a new virus. Not that they were incompetent, but they were learning as they went. And you're asking questions and they're going, I don't know. But you're getting sicker and your x-rays are getting worse. And I'm looking at my wife on a FaceTime screen and she's smiling, just being encouraged. I don't know how she did it. I looked at her, she says, you look so handsome. I got home and told her, you lie. She said, you did to me. Isn't that something? Isn't that what love does? Love sees the best in people, doesn't it? And you're lying there and you're wondering, am I going to make it? Am I going to preach again? Am I going to see my friend again? I remember calling Josh on FaceTime from the hospital and gasping between every breath, just trying to get a word. And I thought, what in the world is going on with me? This can't be real. I can't be here. I look back now and many of the details I can't remember anymore. But what I do remember is that God was in that hospital room and he was there when nobody else was there. And he helped me through it. And I'm not here today because of luck. I'm not here today because of medicine. I'm not here today because of happenstance. I'm here today because God is bigger than any virus and bigger than any pandemic and bigger than any trial. And I had to tell the devil, you can't have me. God's not done with me. And in the name of Jesus, I had to shake it off. And I'm not at all saying that I did anything to get rid of it. But I'm praising God for doing it. And I can't help but think that there's somebody in the building. You're facing something. Maybe you're dealing with something that is bigger than anything you've ever faced. Maybe you're like Jeremiah in chapter 20. He was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. He was doing everything God told him to do. And the people of God were ignoring him, rejecting him. They threw him in prison. They laughed at him. They listened to nothing he said. He was God's gift to them, but they were treating him like a curse. And in chapter 20, he was done. I can't do this anymore. I'm in derision daily, God. They mocked me daily. And then he made this statement. I will not make mention of his name anymore. You know what those are? A bunch of words for this phrase. I quit. I'm done. Preaching is just getting me more in trouble. Doing right is getting people laugh at me more. The more I tell them the truth, the more they believe a lie. I'm tired of this, God. I'm done. I quit. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not even saying Jehovah's name anymore. Jeremiah retired. Jeremiah resigned. Jeremiah quit. And my friend, if it were not for the grace of God, Jeremiah would have ended in chapter 20. But if you know your Bible, it does not end in chapter 20. And I'll tell you why it doesn't end in chapter 20. Because after that statement, Jeremiah makes this next word, but. Aren't you glad for the buts in the Bible? Amen. Jeremiah said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. When I thought I was going to quit and I said I was finished and it looked like God was done with me, Jeremiah said his own word would not let me quit. And my friend, if you're going through something this morning and you feel like you can't make it and you feel like it's too big for you and you feel like you can't go on, a stress ball ain't going to get you out of it. A psychiatrist ain't going to get you out of it. A round of golf ain't gonna get you out of it. Drinking something out the bottle ain't gonna get you out of it. But I'll tell you something that'll get you quit. You get you not resigning, get you not retiring, and will get you back in the fight. God's precious word. And somewhere in this Bible, I read that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to his mighty power that worketh in us. Somewhere in this Bible, I find that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forward and forevermore. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. They have no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. James said, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to all them that love him. I'm telling you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God be glory and power and dominion now and forever. Amen. I'm saying those are a lot of verses to tell you, don't you doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Don't you bow and you bend when you're God's child and you win. Don't you fuss and cuss when all you got to do is trust. Don't you give up, put up, back up, or shut up. Tell the devil he's a liar. Tell the flesh he is defeated. Tell the world that God has overcome him. Tell God he's your father. Jesus, he's your savior. The Holy Ghost, he's your comforter. The word of God is your guide. And heaven is your home. That trial may be tough. That burden may be heavy. That sickness may be thick. Those friendships may hurt you. That mountain may seem high. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus and on the authority of the word of God, Faith Baptist, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. That's all I got, man. Would you bow your head with me where you are? Forgive me if my words have been feeble or misplaced. But I'm burdened for the people of God today, because many are overwhelmed, worn out, worn down. Somebody in the building right now is facing something so unique to your life, you don't have a clue. I want to ask you today, if you're in the building and you know that you're saved, would you raise your hand all over the building? I'm saved and I know it. Put your hands down. Could I ask you a question? If you're in the building today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody in the building? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I am sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Anyone else? If you're in the building and you just raised your hand, I want you to listen to me just a moment. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I would never do that. Would you look at me just a moment? Just look right up if you put your hand up a moment ago. Just look up here at me. Just you and me are looking. Jesus loves you. You're listening to me. He loves you. If you were the only sinner on earth, he would have died for you. And right now, he wants to save you. We're all born sinners. We didn't do something to become a sinner. Adam sinned and we were all born sinners. That's why our parents never have to teach us how to do wrong. But Jesus died for your sins. He shed his blood. And right in your seat, right where you are, right there, if you believe that and you're willing to pray a simple prayer, Jesus will save you right in your seat. If you are, I want you to pray quietly to yourself. Nobody has to hear you but God, right in your heart. And just say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. Please wash my sins away and come into my heart and save me. Jesus shook off the devil on the cross. And today I want to give my heart to you, Lord. I turn from my sin and turn to you. In Jesus' name. If you're in the building, now listen to me. And you just prayed that prayer to yourself, to God, and you meant it from your heart. Would you slip your hand up just so I can rejoice with you? You say, I prayed it. God bless you, man. It's worth the whole trip. Someone else? Thank you, ma'am. It's worth the whole trip. Oh, God. Anyone else? These two precious, sweet ladies. And I hope in just a minute you'll let somebody from this church know so they could rejoice with you. Now, last question for those of you that are saved. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm facing something right now and I need God's grace and God's help to shake it off? Would you put your hand up all over the building? Come on, come on. I'm going through something. Now, if God is talking to you right now, why don't you get up from your seat? Do y'all have an altar call, Pastor? Do you have? Okay. Why don't you get up from your seat? Come on, come on, come on. Come tell the Lord about it. Come on. You put your hand up just a minute ago. I need to shake something off. Come on. Ask God to help you. You say, Pastor, I'm going through something. That doesn't mean that it's going to be gone when you get back to your seat. But it means you're not going to let it kill you. How many of you would say, Pastor, I'm not on the altar, but right where I am, I'm praying about something in my seat. And I'll pray for you too. God bless you all over the building. It doesn't have to kill you. You hear me? Paul could have just said, well, this is it. No, it's not it. God has a work for this church. And he's got you going through something. Because he's going to show himself strong on your behalf. Don't ask God why. Ask God what he's trying to teach you. I went into the hospital and there was a news reporter that very night. Came to the front steps of our church and filmed an interview. And I don't know if he was misinformed. I don't question his motives, but he began to say that the pastor knew he was sick and intentionally endangered everybody, which was furthest thing from the truth. Some people had lied and made up some foolishness. Now I'm lying on the hospital bed fighting for my life, and here's somebody making up some lie. And my brother got on the internet and corrected all those lies, told them what really happened. And the thought initially is, look at this. Here I'm trying to do right, and they're lying on us. This is unfair. Do you know that same news station called him back and apologized? Asked for another interview and then another interview. And because of the initial false report, I ended up interviewing on 3 different news stations, a couple radio stations, writing an article in the Washington Post, and giving the name of Jesus all over the airwaves. I pray to God you don't think I'm bragging on me. I'm just telling you, it's so easy to look down on our situation. I'll say this and I'll sit down. My wife gave me something a couple years ago and put it in my office. And it says this: don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. Amen. I don't know what you're going through today, but I just believe God brought me here to tell you somehow, some way, shake it off.